Amen. Come on, lift up your hands and let's magnify Him. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your power. Oh, You're so good to us. Hallelujah. We glorify Your name. Come on, lift up your voice and magnify Him. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Oh, we thank You for Your presence. Oh, we thank You for Your power. We ask You to speak to us today by Your word. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we give You thanks and praise. We thank You, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that removes every burden and destroys every yoke. We magnify You in the name of Jesus, and everyone agree with that said amen. I'm so glad to be back with you all. Thank you, Ben. What an awesome job he does. The whole team, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and get started here. And we got a lot to cover, so if you want to turn to Genesis 1. I'll try to get to Revelations before, not really, but we do want to start Genesis 1, actually. I live in Temecula, California. Love from my wife, Beth, my little girl, Sophia, who's 11. And we're just so, so blessed. So we pastor West Coast Life Church there. And then also in Los Angeles, Sunday nights, we have West Coast House of Prayer. And we do a lot of outreach into the entertainment industry and in Hollywood. And God has really blessed that and opened up amazing doors. It's amazing the doors He can open. You know, most all the stuff that I've tried to open or tried to do on my own, nothing happened. And then here comes God and just opens stuff you weren't even expecting to happen. And He's absolutely amazing at it. So I want us to start, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion." Everybody say dominion. "Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You've been given authority over creeps. How many of you could use that? I'm going to take some of that right now. I could use some of that. Verse 27, "So God created man," or mankind, "in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." And then verse 28, "Then God blessed them." How many of you are blessed today? "Then God blessed them, and He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." How many of you know that blessing that God blessed mankind with is still to be on us? Now, everybody's not walking in the benefits of it, but that same blessing, and the word fruitful means to grow or to increase. And then He said, multiply. Now, how many of you know 4 plus 10 is 14, but 4 times 10 is 40? How many of you would rather have $40 than $14? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand on that, we'll have prayer for you at the end of the service. Everybody say multiply. It also means enlarge, excel, abundance, more in number. And then He said replenish, which means these are the actual Hebrew definitions of these words: full, overflow, fullness, and to gather. The word subdue is to bring into subjection every evil force or to conquer. And have dominion or dominate, to prevail against or reign. Now, Romans 5:17 says, we are supposed to be reigning in this life. Amen. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And that's true, but we're supposed to be doing some rejoicing down here too. Amen. So we're supposed to be reigning in this life. Glory to God. So another scripture I wanted us to look at is in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. And it says, "The blessing," everybody say the blessing, "the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." How many of you could tell I got up early and I've been studying pretty hard all day? I'm just already on like machine gun. I'm ready to go. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The Amplified says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Listen, in the NIV, it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. So this blessing, we don't work for the blessing, we work because of the blessing. Amen. But when the blessing's on you, it just makes everything easier. You remember when Peter was fishing and hadn't caught anything, Jesus said, throw out your net. You remember what Peter said? He said, Master, we've been toiling. Everybody say toil. We've been toiling all night and haven't caught anything. They've been working really hard. This says the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. You don't work for the blessing. We've been toiling all night and caught nothing. And then he said, nevertheless, at thy word. And he threw out the net, and they got the nets began to break because they caught the largest catch that they had ever caught. That doesn't mean there's not any work to it. But what he said was, we've been working hard all night long and caught nothing. How many of you have done a lot of work and feel like you've done got very little accomplished? You ever hear somebody say, well, I've just been working on this house and I can't tell I've done anything. I've just been working at this and you can't tell. I mean, it's like you can't even see where I've even scratched the surface. Well, when the blessing of God's on you, you're not just working in vain or not working where you don't see it. So he had been working hard all night long. They're exhausted. And then he threw out the net at Jesus' word, and they brought in so many fish. Now, when he threw out that net, when Jesus said it, he's still working, but it's a whole lot better when you get so many fish. I mean, it's a lot easier to work when you're seeing, oh, this is happening, that's happening, this is happening, that's happening. It just makes everything better, everything easier. Remember the Apostle Paul, he said to the church at Corinth, he said, I worked harder than all the apostles put together, and yet it wasn't even me doing it. It was the blessing that was on me. He said, the grace or the blessing of God. So when the blessing is on, that doesn't mean, that means we just lay on the couch and eat ice cream, watch Gunsmoke. No, you still work. Amen. But it's not this painful toil. It's not painful when you're working hard and you're bringing in so many fish, the net starts to break. And you got so many fish, you have to call your partnerships and their boats all start to sink. I mean, everybody's happy. Are you working? Oh, yeah, but you're happy about it. That's a lot different than just doing it on your own. So we want the blessing of God on us. Amen. Remember over in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Now, when you see the kingdom of God, when you see that phrase in the Bible, it's only in the New Testament. It's talking about God's system or God's way of doing things. It's not talking about heaven. Even Matthew uses the word, the phrase kingdom of heaven, and even that's not talking about heaven. He's talking about heaven on earth. So he uses the phrase kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven interchangeably as the same thing. None of it is talking about heaven. It's talking about living in the blessings of God while you're here on the earth. So Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God over in Matthew chapter 6. And you know what he kept saying over and over? He actually said it 6 or 7 times, just in a few short verses. Don't worry. Why are you worrying? Stop worrying. You can't change anything by you worrying, so stop it. And then he said, quit worrying. And just in case you didn't get that, he said, I said, stop it. Now, how many of you think maybe we shouldn't be worrying? Well, who's going to worry if I don't? That's what my mom used to say. Nobody. What if nobody did? Wouldn't that be amazing? Because Jesus said, you cannot operate the kingdom of God and worry at the same time. You can't do it God's way and worry at the same time. That's the whole point of what he was teaching, of how we walk supernaturally in a natural world. We're supposed to be riding above the circumstances. That means that doesn't mean circumstances don't come. That doesn't mean things don't hit you. That doesn't mean there's tests and trials. But you can go through the fire and come out the other side without even having the smell of smoke on your clothes. That's what the Bible says. So we are to be living supernatural in this natural world. Amen. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to show you how to do it better. So this means an enablement, an empowerment, this blessing, ideas, strategies, wisdom, supernatural strength. I could use some of that right now. How about you? To know how to do it better, easier, faster, and more efficient. Now that's how we're actually, this is not a fairy tale, this is how we're supposed to be walking in this life. Now, turn if you would to Malachi chapter 3, a passage that if you've been around church very long, you know this. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, so just go to Matthew and turn back a page or two. Malachi chapter 3, and in the middle of verse 10, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, a window, everybody say window. A window is an access point. It allows things to go through it from one place or one area to another. So he's pouring out of that window on us divine appointments, supernatural favor, supernatural supply, abundant provision. And he said, prove me. I will open opportunities to you and empower you to walk in it continually to experience increase. Now, the line there that says that there will not be room enough to, I'll pour out blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And if you'll notice, most Bibles will have it in italics. That means that the translator added those words that they're not in the original. And so what I was talking with a rabbi who was actually a Hebrew scholar about this verse, and he says what it actually says in the original is that he would pour out blessings on you that don't stop, they just keep on coming. How many of you know that's better than just having a miracle? Don't you like that better? Wouldn't it be nice just to pay all the rent and pay the stuff and have money left over at the end of the month without saying, oh my God, we've got to have, by the end of the month, we've got to have a miracle. Well, thank God he is a miracle worker. And when you need a miracle, you can get one. But it's a whole lot better, and it's a whole lot more peaceful, and it's a whole lot more blessed than just already have money and just pay it. Amen. So he wants to put that kind of blessing on you that just it keeps on coming and doesn't stop at all. Ecclesiastes says, cast your bread upon the water and you will find it after many days. Now that word bread is literally grain or seed. And what they would do as they were traveling is they would take the seed and they would throw it on the water, throw it on the river, and that seed would go downstream, and it would rest on the banks, and it would go into the ground, and when they got there a few months later, their crops would be waiting for them, because they're casting that seed on the water, and it'll come back, and then it says it'll come back to you. If you keep on casting your seed, how many of you remember that song? You gotta keep on casting your bread upon the water. Lift up your hand if you remember that. Four people. Well, at least I know how old you are, because it's an old song. So, but if you hadn't cast any seed on the water, guess what? Nothing's going to be waiting for you when you get down there. So I know this, you honor God and he'll honor you. So verse 10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. and try me now on this. Look at this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing. And we just explained this, that there will not be room enough to receive it, or blessings that just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of host. Whew. So if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, he will pour blessings out on you that don't stop. Well, how do we know where our storehouse is? Well, this is not a trick question. If you don't know, right here, this church is your storehouse. Amen. Bring all your tithe. Tithe means tenth. Everybody say tenth. It literally means tenth. Somebody said to me the other day, well, I tithe 5%. You can't 5%, 10%, 5%. That doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing as tithing 5%. That's I 10%, 5%. That doesn't make any sense. You can't do that. Either you're tithing or you're not tithing. Amen. It means tenth. That there may be food in my house. Oh, my house. No, it's capital my. His house, which is right here on the earth. Amen. So that's where you bring your tithe. Now, the word bring actually means to bring along with you personally. Amen. So it's not talking about sending your tithe somewhere else. This is talking about bringing your tithe into the storehouse. You know, I've heard people say, some pastor or some preacher, you know, he took the tithe and he went out and he bought this or he bought that. Well, how many of you know it would be wrong for any pastor to take the tithe and do something with the tithe other than bring it into the kingdom of God? But let's don't worry about him. What about you? What are you doing with your tithe? You have a tithe. It's not just the church that has a tithe. You have a tithe. What are you doing? Well, you know, it all belongs to God. He said it doesn't all belong to him. He says only the first tenth is his. It was never yours to begin with. You know, if it's all his, why are you spending it on you? Why are you buying gas and paying rent and going to the movie and going out to eat? Woo, now I've quit preaching, gone to meddling. No, nobody should be taking the tithe anywhere but the house of God. That's how you get this blessing, because all this open windows of heaven, all these things coming on you doesn't happen unless you bring the tenth portion to him. Amen. So I will never counsel anyone any different than what the Word of God says. And we give offerings. You give offerings above that. We do that all the time, you know. But you'll never hear me say to anyone to do anything with the tithe except bring it to their local church. Amen. Wow, you're right. You know, I've heard some good sob stories. You're right. You know, your sister does need your tithe more than the church. You'll never hear Pastor Ray say for 100. No, it never goes anywhere else. Amen. I use my tithe. You know, I was going to a Christian meeting, so I just thought I'd use it for the expenses for my ticket and my... No. You bring it to the storehouse. Your circumstances never dictate your conduct and being a doer of the Word of God or not. Amen. And I you know what? I've heard some sob stories that are so good. I almost said, you're right. And I go, wait, no, the Word's right. Because they're so good. There's some good stories. It's desperate. They're just so desperate and it's so horrible. And you think, oh, maybe. No. I got to stick with what the Bible says. Over everything else, it always pays to obey the Word. Amen. Now someone, I'm telling you, this message has completely revolutionized my church. Because some people, you know, let me tell you something. If you've heard this before, we're water and seed. Amen. Now seed needs to be watered. Amen. And if you've never heard it before, we're planting seed. But whether, no matter what we're doing, when somebody comes in to preach the word, you ought to always be open and say, Lord, teach me. I know there's something, that there's things in the word. After doing this, this is what my 37th or 38th year of being in ministry in some form, standing up in front of people. And I look at verses that I've been seeing for almost 40 years. And I'll look at that verse and all of a sudden I'll see something I've never even seen before. How is that possible? Because the word of God is alive. This is not dead words on a dead page. I mean, I can read something I've been reading my whole life, and it's like those words stand up and start dancing around on the page. That's what happens when a revelation comes. So you should immediately, when anybody gets up to preach the word, even if you've preached the message on it, you say, teach me, Holy Ghost. Teach me. Show me things, things that I've never seen before. Now, somebody asked me just a few weeks ago, in my church, well, do I tithe for my business? Well, that depends on whether you want God's blessing on it. You can do it on your own, you know. Now, you might get by a while on your own, but you can expect a lot of toil, you can expect a lot of work, and you can expect a lot of loss. Because you doing it on your own is the world's system. Amen. So we want the blessing of the tither. We want the protection of the tither. Amen. Now, verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, somebody said to this word of faith person said, well, you know, Jesus has now come since then, so the devourer has already been rebuked. Yeah, legally, but not experientially until you do your part. Everybody say, God's part, my part. How many of you know, just like grace is God's part? You know, there's a lot of talk about a grace, and that's a good thing. God's mercy, unmerited favor, blessing, all of that is absolutely astounding. But let me tell you something about God's part. He's got his part covered. We need to be concerned about our part. You know, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And do you know how many times I've heard that quoted just like that? That's only part of a verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because you can be in Christ Jesus, born again, Spirit-filled, word of faith, Bible-believing, casting out devils, worshiping, fall down on the ground, tears coming down your eyes. But if you are not walking in the Spirit, you'll be condemned. Your own heart will condemn you. So it isn't just being in Christ Jesus. That's not the end of the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. So, grace is God's part. Walking in the Spirit, that's your part. Amen. So, rebuking the devourer is God's part. Opening the windows of heaven is God's part. Pouring out blessings on you is God's part. Making you a delightful land is God's part. What's my part? Verse 10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. That's your part. We get the easy part. We always get the easy part. God's the one that has the hard part, and we're all busy. Everybody's always trying to do God's part. Just do your part. And God will, he actually said, and test me, or prove me, or try me, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that they'll just keep on coming, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he'll not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed. You will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Woo, that's good stuff. So in a Bible interpretation and understanding, because they said, well, you know, Jesus already come, so that's already done. You have to know a little bit about Bible interpretation, because you've got the Old Testament, and then we have the Gospels, the four Gospels, which are in our New Testament, but it's really an interim between the Old and the New Testament. And then you have the letters and or the epistles. And so unless something is in the Old Testament is modified by the New Testament, it stands as written. Amen. So how many of you know thou shalt not steal? That's good in the Old Testament. Still good in the New Testament. Still good today. Offering animal sacrifices for sin? No, not today. Old Testament, yes. Why? Because 1 John says Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Whew, that's good. Amen. And so over in the book of Hebrews, we keep reading over and over about Melchizedek. You see Melchizedek mentioned many times. I'm not going to turn there right now, but for time's sake. But Melchizedek, it says in verse 1 of Hebrews 7, it says, Melchizedek blessed him. Abraham gave a tenth of all. And then it says that in verse 2. In verse 4, Abraham gave his first tenth or his tithe of all. And then verse 5 says, and the priest, Melchizedek, received the tithe. And then verse 6 says, Melchizedek received the tithe and blessed him. And then verse 8 says, here on earth, men receive tithes, but in heaven, he receives it. So when you bring your tithe, you're not just doing something natural. You're doing something spiritual. You're actually touching two realms when you bring your tithe into the storehouse. This is holy unto God. This is worship unto him. When we bring it, we're honoring him. We're worshiping. There is never more of a worship time in a service than when you bring your tithe and offering. I don't care. Ben could get you worshiping God till you fell down and you started crying and your shirt's wet. You cried so much. And that's not more of a time of worship than when you bring your tithe to him and you honor him with it. Because what you're really doing is bringing part of yourself. And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. Actually, this whole thing in Malachi, they're backslidden. And if you'll look at it, they're backslidden, and they're trying to get back to God. And he said, how can we get back to you? And this is, you know what his response is? How can we get back? We've been backslidden. We've been away from you, and we want to come back to you. How do we get back? This is his response. Bring all the tithe. And that's God's response. Why? Because of what Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So you can say all day long all kinds of things, but the test of where your heart is when you bring your tithe. That's what he said about it. Thank you for that one amen and that one grant, but it's all true anyway. That is what he said about it. Amen. And so this Melchizedek, we keep reading about over and over. And remember what I said about Bible interpretation? Because then people say, well, you know, tithing's Old Testament. Oh, no, tithing was, or the law, it was before the law, during the law, after the law, and still today. Amen. We're reading about in the book of Hebrews over and over. Now, it says, do we have a high, we have a high priest today. You know, sometimes you look at the word like Melchizedek, high priest over, and it's like our culture, we don't really understand the high priest thing. You know, it's not really part of our deal. And so it just sounds like some religious stuff to us. But Melchizedek, it says Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's really important because he was not a high priest after the order of Aaron. Now, all teaching that we've ever heard on the high priest was after the order of Aaron. And so we kind of put him in that same category, but he's not. This said Jesus is a high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. So we do have a high priest, but we're not justified today by keeping the law. You understand? We're not justified today by the sacrifices of bulls and goats, which is why Jesus is not a high priest after the order of Aaron, but he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Two things, all through the Word of God, every time you see Melchizedek mentioned, Old Testament, New Testament, two things Melchizedek did only. He received tithes and he blessed them. That's all he did. And now, isn't it amazing that Jesus is our high priest after that same order? Not after the order of Aaron, after the order of Melchizedek. The point is, he wants the blessing on you. That's why Jesus came. Adam lost it all. Remember when Adam sold out to the enemy and he lost all of that we just read in Genesis 1? It belonged to man. Adam lost it. And then he said, you're cursed now, and you brought the curse on yourself, and in toil you'll work the earth. Remember, we talked about that word toil. But now Jesus came, which the Bible calls him the second Adam. And not only that, the last Adam. Hallelujah. So Jesus came and bought back this blessing. He bought back everything that Adam had lost. And yet most of all the world and most of the church still walks like we have not been redeemed from the curse of the law on the earth. We walk with not enough. We walk just getting by. We walk through just needing a miracle. Just every once in a while, we're needing another miracle just to get through. Never, ever intended you to walk that way. He intended you to walk with the blessing. But here's the deal. All of it comes by faith. There's God's part. And God's provided it all. Well, then why don't I have it? Because of what you just said. You just said you don't have it. You can't talk against the blessing, get the blessing to work for you. You can't talk against the word and get the word to work for you. What you say is, that's mine, I take it. That's mine, I take it. I take that. I receive my healing. That's why we say I receive my healing. You don't wait until all the symptoms have gone before you say you receive your healing. You say I receive my healing now. Amen. You're calling it in. You know, if the dog's out and you're calling the dog. Come on, Fido. Come on. Come on. What are you doing calling the dog? Why are you calling the dog? He's not here. Come on, Fido. What are you doing? You're calling the blessing. I'm the healed of the Lord. Everything my hand touches prospers. Amen. So you have to talk in line with the Word of God. When you do that, when you talk in line with His Word, you're calling it in. You're calling it in. So your words agree with His Word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. How many of you know, right here is the truth. Now the facts vary. They change all the time. They're not even worth mentioning. Just speak the truth. This isn't lying to speak the truth. By his stripes I'm healed. That's the truth. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's the truth. Yeah, but what about this? Shut up. Turn to your neighbor and say, shut up. Now, if you're a little kid, just only say that right here when I said it in church. You can't say that at home. And if you're an adult, you can only say that in church. I should clarify that too. So we have to speak according to the word of God and walk with the word of God. Now turn, if you would, to 3 John chapter 2. I'm almost finished. 3 John chapter 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Well, will the truth make you free? Absolutely. So he just told us it's his will for us to prosper. I mean, if you just took this verse and didn't know anything else, it isn't even, I think some translations say wish. That's not what it says. It says desire or pray. I desire above all things. Oh, brother, that's talking about spiritual prosperity. No, it's not. It actually means, that word prosper actually means succeed in business affairs. That's talking about the same thing. Don't be adding, you ever read that scripture? It tells what happens when you add in words to the Bible. Don't be adding stuff. What did he say? That you would prosper. Why can't we just believe what he says? Amen. We don't need you adding words to water down what he said. Never water down the scripture to match your experience or lack of it. You know, millions of believers water down the book of Acts. Why? Because they don't have that experience. Water down, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Why? Because they don't have manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. So people water down the Bible to match their lack of experience. All kinds of people water down, we're just talking about healing. All kinds of people water down healing in the Gospels. Water down the teaching of faith in the epistles. They water down the Bible to match what they don't have. What's supposed to happen, you're supposed to come across things in Scripture you don't have. When we see that, that's what we attain to. That's how you grow. That's how you get there. Don't try to find something in here that fits where you are. Say, "Lord, elevate me." Amen. Admit that you're not there. Elevate my life and experience to match the Bible. Beloved, my prayer. Beloved, that's me. He's talking to me. That you would prosper. Do you believe God told you that he desired for you to prosper? Oh yeah, we do believe that. Now, I used to say about this verse when I would read it, well, it's contingent on the prosperity of your soul. See how we try to make the Bible say what we already think it already means so many times. But in studying this out in word studies, that's not what it says. He didn't say here, he did not say the most important thing is that your soul prospers. Now, see, we sometimes twist the scripture to match what we already think. He said, it's going to happen as your soul prospers. Now, thank God we don't have to pick one. Now, if I had to pick between, you know, just being blessed here on the earth and going to heaven, there wouldn't be a pick, but I don't have to pick. We get it all. We get a heaven. We get healing. We get authority. We get the Holy Ghost. We get blessed in every area. The Bible says we're blessed with all blessing. Amen. And every blessing is spiritual in source to begin with, but it's manifested in the natural. See, you prosper first, not in your bank account, first in your inner man. And you won't prosper really externally until you prosper internally. It happens in your speaking. It happens in your thinking. It happens in your believing. We've got to quit thinking like a poor person. We got to quit talking like a poor person. We got to quit believing like a poor person. Well, we're poor, but we're proud. Well, God will deliver you from both of them. You got to get it on the inside. And it's only a matter of time before it shows up on the outside. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Now, there's a lady in my church, really blessed lady. Awesome. She has her house in her drawer, a drawer full of plastic sporks. How many of you know what a spork is? They're so cheap, that KFC or whoever, they're not going to make a spoon and a fork. They're making a spork. And it's in a little cellophane wrapper. How many of you know what a spork is? Now, you'd be surprised. I'm not going to ask a show of hands for this because you'll be embarrassed when I'm finished. You'd be surprised how many believers, prosperity, believe in word, quote, and believers have sporks in their house. No one in Florida, but in California, it's crazy. They take them home from the fast food place. It's the truth. See how you're laughing? You can't believe it, can you? They take them home and they save ketchup packets. And so, how many of you have a bottle of ketchup in your fridge? See, you would never need to take a ketchup pack. But in California, they're so dumb. They take ketchup, they take little salt packs, they take little plastic sporks. And sometimes you can be at somebody's house and say, oh, grab a spoon, it's in the, and you pull out, and there's a whole drawer full of emergency supplies for when the holocaust, what do we have coming up? Armageddon. No, what's coming up? Apocalypse, whatever it is, the next thing. Emergency supply. Because you just never know when you might need a spork. We better save it. Save that. You dump out the bag, you get out of the fast food, there's a whole bag full of emergency supplies. Eventually, you have to throw those emergency supplies out and replace them with the latest emergency supplies because they're a couple years old now, some of them. Not here. You guys see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. California, there, it's crazy. I asked Diane, I said, very wealthy lady, amazing, blessed, God's blessed her so many ways. Diane, do you have silverware? Oh, yeah, and I saw on the thing, she's got stainless steel that she used every day, lots of it, beautiful. Silver, for when's it good, you know, like the Beverly Hillbillies, when it's time to eat the fancy eating table. All kinds of, I mean, she's single. She's got enough that she could feed all of you with the silver and the stainless steel that she has. And when she uses one stainless steel fork, she doesn't even have to wash it. This is what she does. She puts it in the dishwasher. She's not even washing it when it's over. It's astounding. And she has a drawer full of plastic sporks. How many of you have ever had a spork and you took it home and you saved it? Tell the truth, you're in church. Okay. Not now, you wouldn't, I know, but nobody now has that at home. Well, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I'm just having fun. But how do you think? I said, how do you think? You think like a poor person? Because if you think like a poor person, you're going to also be acting like a poor person. Give me that. Save that. Save that. And you know what else you're going to be doing? Talking like a poor person. Ooh, this is good stuff. We need to change our thinking. I'm finishing up right now. Philippians 4. And verse 8, finally, brethren, what are we talking about? What we're thinking. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on, meditate. We need to be meditating on the blessing. We need to be thinking about, we need to be having it on our mind. Because isn't it interesting that in the Word, he said, this is his prayer, above everything. Think of all the things that there are, above everything, that you would prosper and that you would succeed in business affairs and walk in divine health. Above everything. I don't have big enough arm to make it as big as I have it on the inside. How important is it for us? Above everything that you would, you know why? Because you can't build houses in Haiti if you're not blessed yourself. You can't have this barn for harvest if you're not blessed yourself. You can't give, you can't go, you can't do anything to be a blessing. And he told Abraham, this blessing I'm putting on you isn't just for you. Oh yeah, you're going to be blessed. And he was a multi-billionaire. We don't even have time to look at that. But he said, I'm blessing you so that you can be a blessing. That's what the whole thing is about. So we're supposed to have that on our minds all the time. We're supposed to be thinking blessing. We should see someone, we're thinking, how can I bless them? How can I help them? Thinking about all the right things. You need to have a bouncer at the door of your mind. I just did a meeting in Los Angeles, and it's right down at the Dream Center. I was at it, and it was right off of Sunset Strip. Now, Sunset Strip has all kinds of clubs, all kinds of bars, and you just drive down Sunset Strip, and there are people lined up outside to get in the club. But you know what? Brittany or Paris or whoever, they can pull up. And they take them right in. You know why? They look good. They want people that look good in the club. There's all kinds of other people in line. You know, and you can look, it's like, it's going to take her a while to get in. You know why? Because they're looking for a certain thing. But if you look good enough, you can go right on in. I mean, if you are pretty, if you are lovely, you can go right on in. But there's a bouncer at the door. No uglies allowed. Remember that cheer we used to do? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Yeah, you ugly. Remember that? They know it. Don't do the rest of it. Calm down. No uglies allowed. You need a bouncer at the door to your mind and say, no uglies allowed. Only thoughts that are beautiful. Only thoughts that are pure. Only thoughts that are lovely. Only thoughts about healing. Only thoughts about the blessing. Put a bouncer at the door. Other things try to come at you. Yeah, but how are you going to pay this? No uglies allowed. Can't come in here. Because he's telling us how to get this blessing. He's telling us how to be transformed into a man and a woman of God who walk with the blessing on him, which is how he intended. We've lived so far below our privileges in the body of Christ of what he intended for us to walk in. I don't know about you, but I'm walking in the blessing. Lift up your hand and give him thanks. Father, we thank you for your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word stands forever. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. If you're in this room today and you've never been born again, you've never been saved, you've never received Jesus, this is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. It's more important than who do I marry or what's my career going to be. This is the only decision that you'll make that will affect your eternity. and you are an eternal being, and you will live forever somewhere. But the bottom line is this: if you can't lay down to sleep at night and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, you can know. This is not a hope so salvation. Well, I hope I've done enough good things. That you can't do anything good enough to make heaven, but Jesus did something good enough to take you there. So the bottom line, just right there where you're sitting, this is between you and God. If you say, you know what, I really don't know if I were to die tonight, if I'd go to heaven, I want to know. Just slip your hand up so I can pray for you here in just a second. Anyone in the room, you say, I don't know, but I want to know that heaven's my home. Maybe there's someone here that says, you know what, I've served God, but I've kind of backslid or just gone out of fellowship, gone my own way, done my own thing, but I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Is that anyone in the room right now? Just lift up your hand real quick before we pray together. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anyone else before we pray? I think it'd be good for all of us. Why don't we all make a fresh commitment to God right now? Lift one hand up toward heaven. It's just a sign of surrender. That's where your help comes from. Say this after me and mean it with your heart. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me with your precious blood and make me whole. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, come on and give him thanks and praise. Oh, we magnify your name. I am so in love with your pastors. They're some of my favorite people on the planet to hang out with. We always have a blast. It's all pure joy, and I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for you that you are in this place right here, because they're the best. We love you guys. God bless you.